takes his stretch. Escobar goes. The pitch is swung on and belted fair this time. Back to the track, to the wall, leaping, and it's gone! A two-run home run for Jose Bautista. His 10th big fly of the year, and the Blue Jays take a 2-1 lead. One of two-run home runs for the Blue Jays tonight. The other one by J.P. Arencibia in the bottom of the seventh. The Yankees got just the one. And the Blue Jays put their brooms to good use, beating the New York Yankees 4-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. All kinds of stuff to talk about tonight. The Jays sweep the Yankees with their fourth and fifth starters, doing a great job. Adam Lind gets sent down to AAA Las Vegas. The Jays hope he'll be back soon, but that's up to Adam. Brett Laurie drops the appeal of his suspension, so the Jays call up Yan Gomes, who's in the lineup at third base tonight, becoming the first Brazilian ever to play in Major League Baseball, and he goes 2-for-3. All kinds of things to talk about. The Blue Jays, if the season were to end today, which would be really weird because it's May 17th, would be in the playoffs. Despite all the whining and gnashing of teeth about just how bad this team has been. 21-18, good enough for a playoff spot right now in the American League. Let's lead things off with Andrew in North York. You're going to be the leadoff man tonight on the Blue Jays Talk. Andrew, lots going on in Blue Jays land. What do you want to talk about?
Thanks, Mike. Look, I know it's fashionable to call in after they win, and I know people love to give them lots of compliments when things work out well, but I got to say right now, I was a big critic of the whole Drew Hutchison thing. I thought that our pitching depth was kind of overstated when we had to reach all the way down to a guy who barely had experience at A-ball. And watching this kid...
A ton of experience at A-ball. It was double A, well, he hadn't pitched much.
Yeah, that's right, sorry. But it's just unreal watching how poised he is, how well he works the zone, how he doesn't get rattled. I know he's had a couple of bad innings and the ERA is kind of up there, but it's really artificial. This is just... It's a wonderful thing to watch. And win or lose, I know we're going to be up and down, but win or lose, this is why I tune in. Tonight was a great game.
Yeah, it really was. And you know what? Big of you to call in and with your little mea culpa there. Poise, the word you used, is so applicable to him. I mean, it's like he doesn't even have a pulse. You know, he doesn't get excited. He doesn't get out of his delivery. He hasn't lost the strike zone for periods of time. Yeah, he had four walks, and he had four walks in his last start too. But when he misses, he's not hanging balls, and he's not leaving anything where it could get destroyed. It's really been something else to watch this kid. And the operative word is kid. He's 21, and he won't be 22 until after the season. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Drew Hutchison has been terrific, and not just in his last two starts. Like Andrew said, a couple of big innings against him. Hutchison has allowed 18 earned runs in 33 and two-thirds innings of work, but nine of those runs have come in just two innings. You can't throw him out, but if you throw him out, it's an ERA under 3, isn't it? Barry is in Toronto. Barry, welcome to the Jays Talk, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A lot of stuff happened today.
Wow, what a game.
What a game indeed.
That was a great game, and you know, it's amazing. I'm waiting for all the negative callers to call tonight, but I don't think we'll hear from them.
No, it's tough for that to happen after a sweep of the Yankees.
But what a nice pitching job by a young pitcher, and when you look at this pitching rotation, they're just amazing. Like, this guy never gets upset about anything.
Nope.
It's absolutely incredible.
It
gets into trouble, he pitches himself out of trouble.
Yep.
And this young kid that they brought up, Yan Gomez, wow, this is something. He stands up to the plate. He's not afraid of anything.
No, Yan Gomez was really willing to take his hacks tonight, that's for sure.
He's swinging for the fences.
Yep.
And what can you say about Omar Vizquel?
That was just crazy.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And how anybody could be negative about this team is completely beyond me.
I'll just wait till the next time they lose a game.
Yeah, and I just have a question for you about slot compensation for draft choices. How exactly does that work?
I'm not 1,000% sure about it, but I believe that the way it works with a new collective bargaining agreement is that you get a dollar value that you can spend in total on your picks in the first 10 rounds.
Right.
And if you go over that total value, then you're subject to penalty. But I don't know that you can go over the recommended slot for any one position. That's what I'm not clear on. I don't think you can, but you can't go over your overall top 10 round picks of slot. And I just think it's I'll try to look it up at some point during the show, so stick with us, and if I get the answer, I'll let you know. But it's designed, obviously, in combination with the earlier signing deadline to get a lot of kids signed up much easier and much faster. And I think that's going to be the outcome.
Right, because there was a lot of talk about it when they were talking about their draft choices last year with Deck. And
Deck was 2 years ago. Last year was Tyler Beede.
Yeah, but I think it was Deck McGuire that they had paid him overslot, and I was wondering who sets it and what penalty is involved if you go over the slot.
There didn't used to be a penalty. That's new this year. The commissioner's office sets the slotting recommendations.
I see. And one more comment.
Real
about the Yankees. I don't like the Yankees, but
nor should
their shortstop is incredible.
Well, he's an incredible singles hitter, that's for sure. Thank you, Barry. I got to move on. We got some other people we got to get to. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter, there's no question about that. Ricky is in Toronto. Ricky, lots happened in Blue Jays land today. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, buddy. Let me tell you, I heard the word poise. What about composure, confidence, and even a bit of swagger? Our young men out there, I tell you, I'm really impressed. We're talking from Alvarez, Hutchison, Dre Beck. What about that new guy, Yan Gomez? I don't know much about this guy, but he doesn't look out of place. He looked like he's been here all year.
He did not look out of place at all.
No, not at all. I mean, I look at that guy, and I just see the confidence. And you saw him how he reacted to Omar Vizquel's play there. I mean, this guy looks like he's going to make it difficult on the coaching staff to let him go once Lowry gets back, don't you think?
Well, that's certainly his job, and I'm sure he wants to stay beyond the 4 days of Brett Lowry's suspension. He's absolutely going to try to make it as difficult as possible on them. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Gomes is a very versatile guy. He can play first. He can play third. He can catch. He can't play the outfield. But he's going to try his best to make them make a tough decision on Monday.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I heard they're speeding up Guerrero's process there. When do you think he might be up with the big club?
I think that from what I gathered from talking to John Farrell today, the earliest we might see Vladimir Guerrero, and I think it's about first week of June. June 4th, when the Blue Jays go out on that road trip through Chicago and Atlanta. I think if Vladdy's going to continue to hit well and continue to look like he's in shape and pass all the tests, I think we're going to see him around then, but I'm skeptical as to whether or not we'll see him beforehand. Thanks for the call. I thought for a second, you know, it might be next week, but he needs to play himself into shape a little bit more, even though he seems to be doing pretty well, and they have accelerated his progress. Down in Dunedin, he will get into extended spring games tomorrow, when originally the thought was that wasn't going to happen until next week. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-1. They sweep the two-game series. They leapfrog over the Yankees into third place in the American League East and into the second wild card spot in the AL. We are Blue Jays talking it up on a busy, busy day for the Blue Jays. Mike is in Mississauga listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mike, what do you got today?
How's it going, Mike?
It's going all right. What do you want to talk about? All that.
Well, I was kind of just under the impression here. I think this little Lori debacle the other night might have kickstarted the team. I mean, that's a bitter taste in your mouth, you know, coming off of that. And boy, they just fired out of the gates after that went down the other night.
That's kind of what we discussed on the Blue Jays talk last night. In my mind, I think they're fired up every night. You know, I think they come here to the ballpark ready to go, and I would be surprised if it took something like that to get them playing better, especially since, you know, they should be trying to win every night, no?
Yeah, they looked a little lackluster. I mean, in that, there should have never been a bottom of the ninth inning that other night. You know, the four errors and all that stuff like that. But, I mean, just the way they, just bounced back tonight. I mean, you know, even though the Yankees aren't playing that great, nothing sweeter than sweeping the Yankees. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. Nothing the last 18 years anyway sweeter than sweeping the Yankees.
Yeah, but quick question. I wanted to go back to Lowry for just a second.
Yep.
Honestly, we get into the whole thing with they have to control their emotions in those situations. But you get a situation like that, you know, when I really think the through that call, those two balls.
Yep.
I mean, what kind of recourse does a player have?
None.
In those situations.
Nothing at all.
You just have to live with that.
Yep.
I can't, I'm almost a fan of the idea of a red challenge flag like they have in football.
Oh, I want robot umpires. I'll go even farther than that.
What's that?
I want robot umpires, no red challenge flag. Get every call right.
Yeah, it's 2012. There's no point in playing the game like we did in, 1912.
That's right.
Humans are going to make error, and then you really hate to see a situation like that where you feel like he was deliberately throwing the call. And that poor kid for the Tigers who had that perfect game,
yep.
Botched last year on the bad call.
And, 2 years ago, Armando Galarraga.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And you hate to see stuff like that happen.
You sure do.
You know, in this age of technology, you know. So, he could have, like I said, there should have been no bottom of the ninth, but in the first place, but still, I've watched it 50 times. That is just ridiculous.
It was. Thank you, Mike. We spent a lot of time on that one last night, but I'm glad you got a chance to get it off your chest. It was ridiculous. And Brett Lowry appealed his suspension so that he could play yesterday and dropped the appeal today, and the Blue Jays won without him, and now they've got three with the Mets that they'll have to play without him, and he will be back on Monday night. Michael is in Toronto listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael, lots of stuff going on in Blue Jay land. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the four MVPs for tonight. Mr. Hutchinson, Mr. Aaron Sebia, Mr. Bautista, and you, Mr. Wellner. You
were
fantastic tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't do anything.
Very good. Those two home run calls were excellent. I was proud. I thought you did a good job stepping in for Double A, Mr. Ashfield.
I appreciate it. I thought I kicked the first one, but I appreciate it.
I liked how you made reference to the fact that he hit the first one almost as far, but it was four levels left. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, Adam Lind, what's your prediction of when he gets back in the lineup?
I don't know. I'm thinking around the All-Star break, but if he goes down to Vegas and takes off, 2 years ago we saw Edwin Encarnacion get sent down around the All-Star break, and he went down there and he lit it up. And his replacement up here, Jared Hoffpower, didn't do anything. And he was back in 10 days. So it's quite possible that Adam Lind might be back in 10 days. I'm sure they hope that. But I have a feeling it's probably going to be closer to the All-Star break.
Don't you think the Jays need him to be going full bore if they're going to make a run at one of those two wild cards?
They're in one already right now, and they've gotten nothing from him.
True.
So
don't
no.
You think you think that he could absolutely be a bust all year and they could make a wild card?
I think he could absolutely be a bust all year and they could make the playoffs, but he won't be here to be that bust all year. I think that if he doesn't turn things around, he's not going to get back up here. So it's irrelevant. They'll have Ben Francisco DH or Vladimir Guerrero DH, or they'll go out and they'll find somebody else if Lynn can't come back. But, I mean, you know, they're 21-18 with no real contribution from him, and right now that's good enough to be in a playoff spot, and Baltimore's ahead of them.
How long before Rasmus is in a similar boat?
I don't know, because, I mean, his defense is just so strong, you know, and that's kind of enough to keep one bat that's not hitting in the lineup, right? Especially in center field, which is such an important position. I think that the leash is really, really long on Colby Rasmus.
Excellent. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, and thanks for the kind words, Michael. I appreciate it a lot. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-1. Jose Bautista and J.P. Arencibia each with a two-run homer for all the offense. And for the second straight outing, Drew Hutchison gives up one run in six innings of work, 21 years old. Picks up his third win of the season. He is 3-1. We've got John Farrell, and we will hear from him shortly. Right now, though, second night in a row, we're going down to Phoenix City, Alabama, listening on his SiriusXM radio. Steve, lots of Blue Jay stuff to talk about tonight.
Hey, Mike, man, you sounded great out there tonight. I enjoyed listening to them calls.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it a lot. Had to step into the breach. I wasn't expecting it, but we hope Alan Ashby's back soon.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay, got two things tonight.
Shoot.
First, we need to give Colby a game or two sitting on that pine pony, and we need to give him some reading literature while he's down there. We need to give him maybe some travel brochures to Las Vegas to look over, and maybe that might get his frame of mind back into the ball game. You know what I'm saying?
You think that his frame of mind needs to change? I mean, nobody looks good when they're 0-18.
Yeah, well, no, his mind is not right, Mike. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's being that far away from home. I don't know what's going on with the boy. But he needs an adjustment because he's got it in him. And I know he's got it in him. And I know he's going to do good. It's just we got to get it out of him.
Well, like I said to the last caller, I think the leash is pretty long on Colby because of the defense that he's playing in center field, and that you can afford to carry one bat that's not getting the job done if it's only one and he's playing big-time defense. So I don't think he's going to Vegas anytime soon. But, you know, if you'd asked me yesterday, I would have said I don't think Adam Lynn's going to Vegas anytime soon.
This is true. And you know I'm a Colby fan.
I do.
But, you know, we just got to get his mind back in there. And second, last night I hope I didn't make nobody mad talking about the fans like I did. I couldn't hear what they said afterward because I was cut off. But
you know what? I heard more people that agreed with you than that didn't.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. All right, Mike, I enjoy it, buddy, and I will call you soon.
All right, thanks, Steve. Steve in Phoenix City, Alabama, if you missed it last night, he said how disappointed he was about the fact that fans here in Toronto seem to turn on people so quickly and so harshly when things aren't going well, and I can't disagree with that. Things are going well now, though. They just swept the Yankees. Andrew is in Buffalo listening on Sportsnet 590. The fans, pretty strong signal out there. Andrew, welcome to the program. Big night for the Blue Jays. Busy day. What do you want to talk about?
Was indeed. Actually, I'd like to talk about Casey Jansen because I know you've been a fan of his for a long time.
Love Casey Jansen.
When he came off his arm surgery, I know that you felt that he'd be a good starter.
Yep.
Now that he's doing well in the closer's role, is this a good problem for the team to have? And will they, in fact, think about him as a closer if he performs well over the next two or three weeks, make Sergio Santos re-earn the role?
I'd be surprised. And they traded for Sergio Santos to be the closer, and Sergio Santos had a phenomenal year in that position for the White Sox last year. They want Santos to be their closer for the next 6 years plus. And Casey's been fantastic. He's been perfect. 3-for-3 in save situations, and he hasn't given up a base runner yet. 3 1-2-3 innings, which should be noted are the only 1-2-3 ninth innings that the Blue Jays have had in save situations this season. But the good problem to have is now it looks like you got a lockdown eighth inning guy
Right. Well, I guess the question becomes, do they see him as the ward to Santos's Henke? Or
it's different because, you know, those guys both blew people away and threw the ball through everybody, and Casey doesn't do that. But I hope they do. I hope they do see it that way because, you know, they wanted it to be Cordero to Santos, Ward and Henke, and Cordero certainly hasn't done the job at all. Casey's got the capability, too, of pitching multiple innings if you need it. I think it would be wonderful if it was do what you have to do to get to the eighth. Casey gets it in the eighth. Santos gets it in the ninth.
Right. And, you know, it's been very quiet, but Darren Oliver is looking pretty good, too, coming out in the roles that he's performing.
He did a great job today, helped out by his defense twice. Omar Vizquelme, that spectacular grab, and then Edwin pulled a Badhoff grounder off his face. But, yeah, Darren Oliver has done a very, very good job as well, and that's why he was brought here.
Right. Well, it's looking nice. So, anyway, thank you for that.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call from the wrong side of the border. And we appreciate all the calls. We will get to the rest of you shortly. But now let's listen in on the word from the man in charge. Here's what John Farrell had to say about tonight's 4-1 win for the Blue Jays over the Yankees.
Another well-pitched game tonight. I thought Hutch once again kept his composure. Tough fifth inning for him where he issued the two leadoff walks, but he gets a key double play to Chavez. And I thought the strikeout of Jones was another pivotal out in the ballgame. Obviously, the two-run homers by both Jose and JP give us the difference here tonight, but the bullpen came out and did an outstanding job. A successful debut, obviously, for Gomes, two base hits. Not really tested over there defensively, but still a solid and well-played game all the way around.
John, Drew had to work out quite a few. He had base runners in all but one inning, and he had some trouble to work around. When he's getting out of those jams, is that makeup that's helping him? Is there a pitch that he's able to throw that helps him get out of those jams?
Probably a combination. If the game is speeding up on him mentally, he certainly doesn't show it outwardly. One of the reasons why we felt, with limited experience, even above A-ball, we felt like he could handle this environment because of the poise and composure. And he shows that almost every start he takes the mound because there's been some traffic that he's had to pitch around. He went to a sinker in a couple of key spots, particularly to Chavez to get the ground ball double play. But he does a very good job of keeping the game under control. And, you know, this is twice now that he's gone six, and we'll gradually continue to lengthen him out. But he's doing a very good job of keeping the game under control.
He's been on a pretty big run the last 20 games or so. What have you seen differently from him over the span compared to the first couple weeks of the season?
You know, what we've seen even last year, going back into the number of home runs he hit a year ago, he does such a good job with the breaking ball. And stay keeping the bat in the zone. Last night, a 3-2 slider from Kuroda. Tonight, another breaking ball from Wade. And because of the bat and the plate coverage that he has, he's been able to put some good swings on some balls.
Talk a little bit about Casey and the way that he has adapted to the closer role. He seems to go out there and show great composure.
I think more than anything, he's just taken the way he's thrown the baseball into the ninth inning. He's been a very good setup reliever for us. He's been good against left-handed hitters for quite some time. And just because it's now the ninth inning, he hasn't changed his approach. He's always been an aggressive type of pitcher, one who attacks the strike zone. And he usually stays in his lanes, meaning that he doesn't miss across the plate. So when he's been able to get ahead in the count, he's been able to exploit some hitters' weakness. And yes, he's done a very good job since converting into this role now.
John, for Hutchinson, did you see the composure early on with him? He's such a young guy. When did you start first seeing that?
Well, our coaching staff in the minor leagues and everyone that's seen him over the course of 3 years now, the remarks on his composure and his personality have been consistent since the day he signed. Our first exposure to him was a year ago, coming over to pitch an A game over in Philadelphia, which, his personality hasn't changed despite the new environments that he's found himself in. So, he's wired in such a way that You know, he keeps things in its proper context and perspective and goes out and continues to execute pitches. So it's more the personality makeup than something that has clicked since he signed his pro contract.
John Batista, 5 times in 7 games, goes deep. How much do you sense he's getting locked in? And what does it say that he didn't necessarily succumb to the numbers of May 10th when he was at 175 or so?
Well, if going deep 5 times in 7 games isn't locked in, then we're in for a real treat if he's yet to click in. So, you know, the one thing that Jose continues to do, despite a slow start relative for him, is he didn't waver from his routine, his preparation. And while some frustration did evolve or emerge over the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and we saw it at times, he would press a little bit, but I think once getting back to addressing pitches in the strike zone allows him to stay relaxed and confident, and then when he hit a couple of balls out of the ballpark, I think it was an ability for him at that point to just take a little bit of a deep breath and relax a little bit and let his true abilities come out, which they're doing that over this, you know, 10 to 12 game stretch.
John, the play with Davis, was that a safety squeeze, and did Francisco just get not quite read it just right?
It was a safety squeeze, you know, a play that we've executed a number of times. I thought Ben got a good break off of third base, but then when he read the ball straight back to the pitcher, he kind of locked up a little bit, thinking he'd run right into an out. As the play unfolded, he continued on, and obviously it wasn't successful, but, you know, ideally, you're trying to direct a bunt, you know, away from the pitcher, but in this case, it just didn't work out.
So it was a safety squeeze there that the Blue Jays kind of botched in the bottom of the sixth inning as they tried to add on to their 2-1 lead. J.P. Arencibia said basically squeeze this in the bottom of the seventh and hit a 2-run homer, his 5th of the season. Blue Jays take down the New York Yankees 4-1. Those were the comments from John Farrell. We will hear from Yan Gomes a little bit later on as well, but right now we're hearing from you and your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Luke is in Oshawa. Big news day for the Blue Jays. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, man. Well, not enough I can really say. Just a quick comment. Casey Jansen, there's nothing you can say. The guy's amazing no matter what role you put him in. He's throwing strikes. He's keeping it over the plate. And there's not much more you can ask from him. My question is about Adam Lind. And I know Mike, a few callers back, touched on it. But he more or less asked how long it's going to take for him to get back up. I want to know what's it going to take for him to get back up. Because, I mean, you look at a guy like Bautista who's been struggling in the early season. But you can see that Bautista's had a couple of games where he can string a few good games together. Adam Lind's maybe had one good game, and then he's off for the next 10. I mean, what's it going to take for him to get back up? And if there is nothing, is it the end of Adam Lind in Toronto and the start of Vlad?
No. Well, first of all, if it is the start of Vlad, it's only going to be Vlad for 4 months. You know, there's no future in Vladimir Guerrero beyond this year.
Right.
But I don't think that the answer is nothing. I mean, Lind has had more than 3 good games this season. You know, he was getting a hit every 5 at bats, as hard as that is to hear. I mean, that's he was terrible, but he wasn't like unsalvageable.
But a hit every 5 at bats is still only 200.
Right, I know, and that's what, it's not good by any means. Like I said, he was terrible, but not unsalvageable. And when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos, John Farrell, today, they both said that they didn't really see anything wrong with his swing. They didn't see anything wrong with his mechanics. Farrell said it was confidence, and Alex said the best thing for him is to go down where he doesn't have to worry about big league ball and facing the media every day and winning being the most important thing, and he can go down away from the bright lights and work on stuff just kind of like Travis Snyder did last year. And more importantly, both Anthopoulos and Farrell mentioned like Edwin Encarnacion did in 2010, and I brought that up at the top of the show. Edwin was struggling mightily in 2010, and around the All-Star break the Jays sent him down. He had to be designated for assignment because he was out of options. So he cleared waivers, and he went to Las Vegas. No other team in the major leagues was interested in him. And he was down in Vegas only for a week and a half. And he hit .438, and he hit 3 home runs, and he had an OPS of 1267, and he got back up, even though he was He was awful up here in the major leagues. So I think that's what the Blue Jays hope happens to Adam Lind. I don't know that they'll, you know, they hope he's back in 10 days. They would love it if he forced their hands to that extent. But by no means have they given up on him, and by no means do they not want Adam Lind to be a big part of this team going forward.
Now, if he doesn't, could you see a guy like David Cooper coming up and playing first?
Well, not really. I mean, maybe, and I appreciate the call. We got to run. But I think we're likelier to see Mike McDade get called up from Double A than David Cooper. McDade's got a little bit more pop. McDade seems to be the kind of guy they'd prefer. I think Cooper, they see a ceiling that's very limited, and McDade less so. We will check on the scoreboard as we continue, and we will extend the Blue Jays talk, more of your calls, all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern Time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays take down the Yankees and sweep the series. It's the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the roof closeth above us on a Blue Jays sweep of the New York Yankees. A two-game sweep, nonetheless, but a sweep is a sweep. And the Blue Jays will remain unbeaten against the Yankees this season, at least until after the All-Star break, which is kind of swell. They win 4-1 tonight. Two-run homers from Jose Bautista and J.P. Arencibia. Yan Gomes goes 2-for-3 in his Major League debut. And Drew Hutchison gets a second straight win, allowing one run over six innings for the second straight start. Everything in the American League is a final. It has just gone final in Tampa Bay. The Red Sox beat the Rays 5-3 to end T-Bay's four-game win streak. Felix DuBront beats Matt Moore. And that means that the Baltimore Orioles, with their 5-3 win over Kansas City, are alone in first in the AL East, a game ahead of the Rays and four ahead of the third place Blue Jays. The New York Mets come into town as interleague play begins tomorrow night. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern Time for a 7:07 first pitch, and we hope to have Alan Ashby back. It'll be Ricky Romero against Jonathan Neese in a battle of lefties. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by Authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center. Bautista 2-for-2. Now JP hits one deep left field. Ibanez at the wall. It is out of here. Two-run home run for JP Arencibia. His fifth of the season. And it is a 4-1 Blue Jays lead. And that's the way it would end. 4-1 Blue Jays over the Yankees. And the Jays very kind to me tonight as I pinch hit for an ailing Alan Ashby, who we hope will be back tomorrow night. But both two-run homers coming in the innings I got to call. So that's awfully swell. And not that anyone's keeping score. But if anyone's keeping score. In the seven games that I've gotten to call play-by-play so far this year, the Blue Jays have outscored their opposition 14-8. They are 4-3 in those seven games. So that's kind of swell. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And lots to talk about. The Blue Jays sweep the Yankees with their fourth and fifth starters on the hill, and each of them only gave up one run. They send down Adam Lind this afternoon. Brett Lourie drops the appeal of his four-game suspension. Yan Gomes gets called up, becomes the first Brazilian ever to play Major League Baseball, and goes 2-for-3 in his Major League debut. Casey Jansen, another 1-2-3 ninth, his third in as many tries. Lots to talk about. Bob in Brampton, where are we going with you on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan?
Yeah, Mike. I think Bautista started to hit better the last week or so. And I think part of it is he sort of stopped, at least I noticed, he sort of stopped questioning every every pitch counter or every strike that was being called on him.
I think he only started to do that after the Brett Laurie thing, though.
Pardon?
I think that only happened the last two nights.
I thought I've sort of noticed that the last week or so he sort of seemed to stop questioning every call, and it sort of has coincided with him. I don't know if somebody had a talk with him, or maybe just himself. He's a pretty smart guy. Maybe he noticed that he was just sort of questioning every call and it wasn't helping his cause at all. Just seems to be a lot more focused on, you know, waiting for his pitch and not worrying about what the umpires are calling, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I just haven't seen it that way. I saw through the road trip Bautista continue to do what he'd been doing in the early part of the season. And to me, it's only really slowed down the last couple of days.
A couple other comments. Colby Rasmus. I wouldn't give up on Colby. I mean, I think the first two or three weeks of the season, the guy hit more hard line drives that were right at somebody than anybody on the team. I mean, he could have a batting average easily 25 to 30 points higher. He hit into just bad luck for the first 3 weeks of this. And I know the last week or so he's been, 0 for 15. He hasn't had really made the sharp contact he was making. But I do think we have to have a long leash of him because, I mean, I do think he hit the ball hard for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, he really did. And you're right, he hit in a lot of bad luck. I do think the leash is going to be long on Colby for sure.
And just one other thing, the comment on the guy from the States made on the Blue Jay fans being a bit schizophrenic.
He didn't say that.
I think that's just because there's a real passion that's developed for the Blue Jays. And, I mean, I think it's, you know, when they lose, everybody's down in the dumps ready to, you know, give up on them. And when they win, everybody's back on the bandwagon. But I think that's just a sign of the passion that we haven't seen for the, it's sort of this year, I really have noticed the difference in just the passion with the Blue Jay fans. So I think that just comes with the territory.
It's interesting. I don't see that as passion. I think when you're an overwhelming amount of negativity when a team loses, to me isn't passion. It's maybe a fan base that's been poisoned by the last 45 years of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's certainly possible. But I think fans aren't really supposed to be realistic, but what fans are supposed to do for the most part is support their team. And that certainly doesn't happen around these parts when the team's not playing well. It just doesn't. We had a caller from Alabama. We had a caller from Iceland earlier, I think last week on the Blue Jays Talk. And now we're going to Puerto Arenas in Chile. Joe, listening on sportsnet590.ca. How's the weather down there?
Well, I'm in the we're heading into winter here.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I say a little cool. We're heading into winter here right now.
Yes, you are down there on the wrong side of the equator where the water flows differently and stuff. Are you listening to me upside down right now?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay.
I'm on the right side of the world on that.
Well, I think you may be my first ever caller from the Southern Hemisphere, so it's very exciting.
No, I called you last week, actually, a couple weeks.
From Chile?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I must be getting old. Well, it's the same guy, right? So you're still the first one.
Yeah. Mike, I heard a couple comments about Colby Rasmus that actually I didn't agree with a lot of them. I mean, Colby Rasmus is a spectacular outfielder. I keep watching these games and watch him run down those fly balls outside, you know, in the outfield. And I really don't understand all the criticism of the fans. His bat will come around.
Yeah, I think his bat will come around too. And I think the criticism has really died down for Rasmus the last couple of months. It's almost gone unnoticed that the batting average is down around 200.
Yeah, and that's my opinion too. I mean, I'm happy he's batting in eighth, and I'm sure that his batting average will come around. I just heard some comments last while, read some stuff in the press, that really, you know, this kid is a spectacular outfielder.
Yep.
And watch him, I watch many fly balls that nobody else would get, or maybe they would get, but they'd have to be really good. And I think you know, give the kid a break. Let him work himself into it, and he'll be good. I mean, I agree with you. I'm a Blue Jays fan for many years, and I'm really excited about this team, and I think they have a lot of potential. They're young, and I think sometimes the fans, like you said, they're maybe it's the Maple Leafs or something. They're very negative, and this young kid is going to be good. And I just didn't really agree with the comments from some of the other callers.
Well, thank you for calling to get your two cents in, Joe. I appreciate that a lot. And I think you're right. I think that Colby Rasmus is going to come around offensively. And I think that as long as he keeps playing center field the way he's playing center field, you keep him in the lineup.
He's really good out in center field.
Yep.
And I think, too, the Blue Jays have potential. I remember your question at the start there when
what do I think? I think, like I said at the beginning of the season, if things break right, this could be a team that winds up in the playoffs. This team has the potential to win the American League East. Now, they also have the potential to finish fourth in the American League East and to miss the playoffs, but I think that no matter what, we are going to see the Blue Jays hanging around in a playoff race all season long. They are not going to be 8 games out on September 1st. They're not going to be, you know, not mathematically eliminated by mid-September, but still really de facto eliminated. I think this team is going to be battling for a playoff spot all the way through the season. I think this is an extremely talented young team. And I appreciate the call, Joe, especially all the way from Chile. For a second time, thank you very much for that. If the season ended today, and the season is not ending today, the Blue Jays would be in the playoffs. Their win tonight over the New York Yankees pushed them into the American League second wild card spot, a half game ahead of the Yankees. They are 21-18, and if they continue to win at the pace at which they have been winning to this point in the season, they will have 87 wins. And that's a first nearly quarter of the season that's been pretty disappointing overall for Blue Jays fans. I hope that everyone who's calling in and being so positive and saying how much they like this team today bottles that feeling and calls me when they've lost 4 in a row. Because at some point this season, they're going to lose 4 in a row again. And reminds themselves that's how they feel about this team. More of your phone calls coming, but Andrew Nye wants to do a sports update, and honestly, who are we to deny him that? Blue Jays beat the Yankees. I'll let Nye tell you how it happened. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The 0-2 to Jeter. Strike 3 called. Same place. And Dale Scott rings him up, and Derek Jeter's going to have a word. A pleasant word. And he walks off the field, striking out on 3 pitches. That's got to be something Drew Hutchison's going to phone home about. That and beating the Yankees. The Blue Jays win it 4-1. Hutchison gives up a run on 5 hits over 6 innings. 3 strikeouts, including that one of Derek Jeter, to lead off the third. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. All kinds of stuff happened in Blue Jay land today to go along with this sweep of the Yankees. Adam Lind gets farmed out, sent down to AAA Las Vegas. Brett Laurie drops the appeal of his 4-game suspension. Yan Gomes is called up and becomes the first Brazilian ever to play in the major leagues and goes 2-for-3 in his big league debut. All that on a day when the Blue Jays improve to 21-18 and take over the second wildcard spot in the American League. And talk about whatever you want in that laundry list of Blue Jays happenings today as we go to the top of the hour. Steve is in Toronto. Steve, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What do you want to talk about?
Hi again, Mike. Okay, so first of all, if Brett Laurie wanted the May 2-4 weekend off that bad, wouldn't he have just asked for it?
Laurie. And I think if he'd asked for the May 2-4 weekend off, they probably would have said no.
There's easier ways, but I don't know. He's awesome. I love him. I love this team. I just wanted to call and say that it's so amazing and it's so uplifting to beat the Yankees, and it's even more so because of it's just arrogance to me that they come into a second game of a series where they could potentially be swept and sit a guy like A-Rod. It seems like arrogance. The first game they said Jeter, the second game they come in, they've already lost, they could get swept, but they still sit players like that.
You know what? I hate the Yankees as much as anybody else, probably more than most. I don't see that as arrogance. I see that as Joe Girardi trying to manage an old team that's in the midst of a run of like 16 or 17 straight games without a day off and trying to keep everybody healthy. Yesterday was Jeter's first day off of the season.
I just think they're arrogant. I don't know.
Well, they are.
They exist.
But I don't think sitting
A-Rod. I had a question too, but you answered it two guys ago. So.
All right, cool.
But Lynn and everything, so that's it. Just my comments. Yeah.
All right, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Any fellow Yankee haters, always welcome on the program. Russ is in New Jersey, and he's not a huge fan of the Yankees. Russ, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Mike, I think I hate the Yankees more than you.
I don't know if that's true.
It's pretty close.
All right.
Okay, let me tell you, I look at this, I know people are calling up, and every day you get a phone call if the expectations are to make the playoffs, not make the playoffs. I look at this Yankee team, who's one of the teams that we're going to obviously compete with if, we are going to make the playoffs. And I think this team, as a Yankee team, has the most holes in it in a long, long time. You look at their starting pitching, they have one guy, obviously Sabathia is a great pitcher. But after that, Carota, I'm saying Nova hasn't pitched a year in the major leagues. Their starting pitching is very, very suspect. Hughes was almost out of the rotation. Garcia's out. And their team, like you just said 2 seconds ago, is old. I'm saying the guy just mentioned A-Rod. The rumor has it that he's pretty sore. And, he's missed a lot of time the last few years. He missed weeks, The team's getting old, and I think this Yankee team has a lot of holes, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did miss the playoffs this year. I think they can out-hit people at times, and they're going to hit a lot of home runs and score some runs. But the team is old, and the pitching is very suspect. And when you get to the bullpen now, and Mariano not being there, people have changed roles. Robinson's now the closer. Robertson,
he's on the DL, too.
Right. So I people call up, are they going to make – I think we have a chance because I don't think the teams are as good as they have been in the past, that the front teams, Boston and New York.
Well, it really does seem like that's the case. But you know what? I'm very wary, Russ, because I have written off the Yankees before for those exact reasons, because of age and because of shoddy starting pitching. And they've always managed to do it. I mean, they've been in the playoffs every year but once since 1995. Maybe the difference this year is that there's no Rivera as well, and that they're even older, but, old with Posada and Giambi, and they still made the playoffs, and old with Messina and Pettit. So I'm certainly not willing to write them off by any means. And again,
no.
With all the problems they're having, they're still a half game out of a playoff spot. And I don't count Baltimore. I know that they are in first place right now in the American League East. I don't count Baltimore as one of the playoff spots. So that would put the Yankees in the playoffs.
I'll tell you something, Mike. I'm not counting Baltimore. Somebody told me today when he spoke to Buck Showalter, he says, we're not that good. So I think Buck knows the I think Buck knows the team is, that's playing over their heads. Now, Baltimore, to be fair to them, have a lot of players that were highly touted prospects would mean absolutely nothing until you do it at the major league level. But they've been waiting for a lot of guys who they, were highly touted in the minors to come around. So maybe, some of the guys are playing up to their capability, but I don't think that team is. I think by July you'll see them out of it.
I think so, too. Thanks, Russ. Got a lot of calls to get to. Appreciate it, as always. Good hearing from you. That's the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Lots of Jays news. Joni in Scarborough, what of it do you want to talk about?
I want to make a comment about Rasmus. It's unfortunate that there isn't a stat about how many runs he keeps off the board. He may not be putting them on, but he certainly keeps them off.
Yeah, we talked about that last night, and it's true. The defense in center field has been exceptional from Colby Rasmus.
Now, the question that I had... They brought up Juan Gomes to play third
Jan
while Lurie's out.
Jan
Gomes. He's also a catcher, but he's also a first baseman.
Yes.
So what are the chances that he stays up and plays first base?
Not great, I don't think.
Unless he's really hitting.
I mean, if he gets two hits in each of the three games on the weekend, I don't think they can send him down. But I don't think the plan is necessarily to have Yan Gomes here beyond the point in time when Brett Laurie's suspension is up. Talking to Farrell and Anthopoulos today, it's a little cryptic about what's going to happen on Monday and who's going to be here. And there are a lot of ifs and maybes.
He was the guy who's been hitting the best in Vegas.
Yeah, but it's Vegas. You know,
right, and
Yan Gomes is lovely. He's a lovely player. There's no question about that. And I do think he's got a future in the major leagues. He's versatile. He's certainly not shy about taking his hacks, that's for sure. But I think the long-term plan, you know, they want a slugger at first base. And Gomes doesn't appear to be that. They want a guy with some power. And I really think that based on some of the hints that seem to have been dropped today, I think we're going to see Mike McDade make his major league debut on this road trip. And I think he may be a guy who comes up and plays some first base for the Blue Jays while Vladimir Guerrero continues to get ready and while Adam Lind works things out in AAA. That would be the move that wouldn't surprise me if on Monday we saw Mike McDade get called up.
Okay. No chance that they're going to leave Edwin there.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Edwin will get some time at first, for sure. When Guerrero comes up...
He's not playing in the field.
Say that again?
I think Edwin Encarnacion is so much better when he's not playing in the field.
I think he's better when he's not playing at third, but I don't think he has any issues when he's playing at first base.
Okay.
He's fine at first. And third base, he'd gotten to the point where he was embarrassing himself on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I think that what may be the plan is that when Brett Laurie comes back, you know, nobody has to go out when Brett Laurie comes back, but just kind of got the feeling.
Hopefully Yan Gomes makes it interesting for them.
Well, yeah, that's what he's going to try to do. No question about it. Thank you, Joni. Appreciate the call. I just kind of get the feeling that it's a temporary thing for Gomes. Jay is in Oshawa. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Lots of Blue Jays news. What do you want to talk about?
First off, Mike, I just want to say you did a great job on the broadcast tonight. You're the next Dan Schulman out of Canada. I think you're going to do big things.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot.
Anyway,
I don't know if I would go quite that far, but thank you.
I don't know. You're good. Enjoy listening to you. Anyway. I want to find out your thoughts on when we're going to see Snyder come up again.
I think it's going to be a while.
Up in AAA and like to see him get a shot again.
Yeah, he's not tearing it up in AAA anymore. I mean, he was. He got off to a phenomenal start and then unfortunately jammed his wrist going after a fly ball and making a dive. And his defense is just, I mean, it's been terrific. And that's one of the reasons a lot of people want to have him here. But since coming back from the wrist injury, he really hasn't hit. I'm just taking a look at his stats. He's 1 for 2 with a double tonight in Las Vegas, which is very nice. But since he's been back from the wrist injury, he is... now 2 for 20, so he's hitting 100, and that was his first extra base hit since coming back from the wrist injury. He's got 3 walks and 6 strikeouts after having 11 walks and 11 strikeouts before he got hurt. So that's one thing. I think that they want Travis to show that the wrist problem is behind him and that he's fine. The other thing is, this is their last chance. He's out of options after this year. So this is their last chance to send him down and get him right. And the last thing Alex Anthopoulos wants to do is put him on a roller coaster and send him down, bring him up, send him down, bring him up. And I would be thrilled if Travis Snyder was the guy who came up on Monday and moved into left field and Eric Thames is your DH and then when Encarnacion goes to first. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Travis is going to be down there for a while. And hopefully, when he comes back, he's back for good, and he's reaching the levels that we all hope that he can get to which we all hope he can get. Is that right? Up with which I will not put. Ken is in Toronto. It's the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ken, what of all this wonderful Blue Jays news would you like to discuss?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Rasmus, I think it's time maybe he needs to go down there and, you know, get some time down there. That's my personal opinion. It just seems like he's just swinging at anything coming up his way.
Who do you put in center field?
Well, I'd put, what's his name there? Who was playing tonight?
Rajay.
I would. He's hitting better. He seems to be running pretty good. I mean, his stats are much better. I mean, you know what? Maybe he sends a message to the rest of the team. I mean, they got a lot of bats on this team, and that leads me to my next question to you. And that's, you got a lot of teams like the Phillies that aren't really hitting. They got the pitching, they don't got the hitting. You got a lot of this happening around baseball where seem to have a pretty good pitching, but not the bats coming to life. Jays seem to have a lot of bats. Do you foresee any big trade coming their way? Maybe this Travis Snyder, maybe tie him up with somebody else. Some teams want to get some of these young guys in there and get the hits going. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you think anybody's going to give up any pitching?
I think later in the season people will start to give up pitching, but I don't think you're going to get a solid major league pitcher for Travis Snyder.
Well, not Snyder necessarily, but you could, you know, put a whole package together. You get a couple of young guys. I mean, you look at the Angels right now. I mean, yeah, they got Pujols, and nothing's happening on that team. They seem to be getting a little bit of pitching, but not the hitting. You got the Phillies. Are they still what? Are they almost last place in the division?
They have been for most of the year, yeah.
And I mean, and they're giving up one run, and they're giving up two runs. With two runs, and they're, you know, scoring one. I mean, when I look at this, you sort of see how far down will they fall down the standings this far early in the season before they start trading some of these pitchers.
The Phillies?
I think so.
They're above 500. They're in last place, but they're above 500. You know, it's going to be a long time until a team that's won the division 3 or 4 years in a row starts to cut bait. And I don't think they're going to do it at all. I believe that it's very difficult to make the kind of trade that you're talking about in May. And it's also difficult to do it in June. Those kinds of trades are trades that start to happen in early July around the All-Star break and then get ramped up around the trade deadline on July 31st. But the Blue Jays, I mean, I certainly don't think they've got any bats that they can spare right now. And, you know, for all the inconsistencies in the offense, even though they're right up there in scoring, the offense has been the big problem, not the pitching. The pitching has been terrific. I understand that you want to bolster it because you're not sure how long these kids can continue to carry it like this, but I don't think they can spare a bat. I appreciate it, Ken. I want to get to a few more callers before we have to go. Rob is in Hamilton. Rob, listening to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, what do you want to address tonight?
Hey, Mike, great call tonight on the radio. I just got two quick points. The first point is they sat JP two nights ago, and last night he came out with a huge home run to start the game, which was crucial to give him a 2-0 lead. And then tonight he gave him that insurance home run there to give him a couple more runs. I thought that was great on his part. And the second point is, you know, they beat the Yankees. That's great and all. But, you know, the real test we're going to see early on this season right now is next week against the Rays, and then in a week and a half from now against Baltimore at home. You know, they come out on those two series showing a good performance. I think it's good for, you know, things that are going on right now. Thanks, man.
All right. Appreciate it. That's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say sweeping the Yankees is good, but that's not the real test. But you know what? They do have 3 in Tampa and then 3 in Texas, and then they come home for Baltimore and Boston. This is not an easy part of the schedule for the Blue Jays, no question about it. Andy is in Curtis. Andy, you're going to be the last one on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Make it good.
How's it going, guys?
Good. That's not a good start. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm just wondering if in the future, either short-term or long-term, it's possible when Darno comes up that JP heads to first.
No, I don't think it is.
No?
No, he doesn't get on base enough. You know, J.P. Arencibia as a 270 hitter, let's say, with 25 home runs and an on-base of 310, that's an all-star catcher. And that's a below-average first baseman.
Yeah.
So, no, as much as we love J.P. Arencibia, and we do, the bat just doesn't play at an elite level at first base.
Do you think one of them has to go then, between Darnell or J.P.?
Maybe eventually, but not necessarily. I think that, first of all, let's not get ahead of ourselves on Travis Darnell. I mean, have we not seen enough big-time prospects come up and fail to impress immediately and people write them off? You know, have you forgotten about Travis Snyder and Kyle Drabek and all these guys who last year everyone wanted to get rid of? Darnell, Colby Rasmus, Darnell may well not hit the ground running. So don't expect him to come up and be an all-star right away and give the Blue Jays a tough decision to make. Jay Sweep, the Yankees, thanks so much for listening. We hope Alan Ashby's back tomorrow. For Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Joseph Cilia, I'm Mike Wilner. We'll see you tomorrow.